Welcome to another interesting episode of Cloud Tech Talks, your go-to cloud podcast from Amadeus Technologies. This is Sindhu Priya, Senior Manager, Marketing and Alliances from Amadeus. Back again. I have with me Shannon Eldridge Keene, a Principal Digital Solutions Architect from the company called Ahead. The topic we have on table today is streamlining developer focus, how platform engineering can reduce the cognitive load. That's what we are going to explore with Shannon. So Shannon, developer platforms have evolved significantly over the years. So could you give us an overview of what a developer platform is and a brief history of its evolution?
Sure. So I think of this like a developer platform could be a framework or it could be an environment. Basically, it's really enabling developers with all of the tools, services, resources, et cetera, that they need to create, test, deploy, and manage applications. So historically, you know, developer platforms included basic tools like text editors, compilers, but they've really advanced over the years. And I think the myriad of tools that are out there in the market, it's become an interesting proposition for our customers. The idea of streamlining that focus, making it kind of a single pane of glass. So when you think about it, you know, early developer platforms could be things like command line interfaces. That's not great for a developer, especially because it's probably one or two lines that they're going to be running, or maybe it's a script that they're going to run or something they're going to compile and run in kind of a one line little bit of code. So as software development propelled and moved into a more complex realm, we saw integrated development environments or IDEs. So that sort of helped build out what needed to happen. And when you see like Eclipse or Visual Studio, or Visual Studio Code, a lot of those IDEs allowed for compilation inside of the IDE. So that started to help things out. They didn't have to go to five different places to get their software to build and deploy. The evolution continued, clearly, right? The cloud brought interesting new things into the realm of focus for a developer. So AWS, Azure, GCP are the three that we work with at Ahead. And, you know, we think about platform as a service solutions like Heroku or Google App Engine, something like that. These platforms enabled scalability with minimal infrastructure management. So it turns out most developers didn't really want to deal with managing infrastructure. So that's why the cloud has really helped streamline that focus. And what we're seeing now is developer platforms are placed in a spot that's either a little bit above the infrastructure or kind of right around the same layer of the infrastructure so that they don't have to worry about it. Oftentimes when we have these conversations with customers about why platform engineering is important, really it's DevOps, right? But developers didn't want to deal with operations. They wanted somebody else to handle the infrastructure, networking, compute, storage, all of that. But it's the idea that developers still need a spot to develop. And so we'll talk to customers about how we're a platform company, right? So plug us in there and we can handle the automation and all of the infrastructure components so that developers can stay streamlined and focus. So the idea just really being, let's get to the point where developers go to one spot. All of the tools, code, plugins, packages, everything lives in that one spot. They don't have to go to five different spots. And it's streamlined in terms of the way that they build and release their software.
Great. So it's a complete package under one pane. So they have this undivided attention and focus on what they are supposed to focus.
Right, right.
So since you touched upon the importance of having such platforms, Shannon, my next question would be like, why are the developer platforms crucial for productivity or efficiency?
Sure. So I think of it like this, right? Anytime you have to do a manual task and you're doing it in repetition, you should probably have some sort of automation. So automating the repetitive tasks, so building out CI/CD pipelines, whether it be GitLab, Jenkins, we use a lot of Harness in our contracts with customers. And so it's just the idea of automating the build and deployment process, automating test, getting to that point because of the fact that, you know, historically developers would have to go in and manually configure all of that. So having a developer platform that sort of sits kind of in the same realm as a CI/CD pipeline, or maybe it sits above the CI/CD pipeline, that helps them out. So one of the ways that we helped one of our customers out, they have 3,000 developers worldwide. And, you know, it's a lot of different teams, right? And it's really hard to standardize and streamline what we're doing. So we helped them out by building out starter kits. So what does that really mean? Well, a developer would go to a portal, a developer portal. They would put in 5 to 10 pieces of metadata, you know, the business unit, the name of the app, you know, any tags, right? Any programming languages. And then within a matter of 5 to 10 minutes, they had a corresponding CI/CD pipeline. They had the code repositories. Everything was wired up. They didn't have to do it. So we got to the point where we built that out for them. So developers could come in and they're building a brand new app. They would go to that portal, state that it was a Go app, state that it needed, you know, a couple different environments like dev, test, stage, production. And then they'd go and fill up their coffee. And by the time they came back, they had everything ready to go. They had the code repository with all of the different files and requirements that that company required. Everything was there from a CI/CD pipeline. And they only had to go to that developer portal in order to build what they needed to build, right? So, you know, I think that's the interesting part that, you know, we wound up helping a customer out with. And then collaboration tools is another big part of it. So bringing all of the tooling into one portal, bringing all of the code, the different components, like the packages, the plugins, it's all in that portal. So you don't have to go to 5 different tools to make something work. So that's another area that I think, you know, it's crucial for productivity. You know, we also are a big proponent of having, it's called tech docs, kind of in the world of Backstage, Spotify. It's all of the documentation living in that portal too, so that you're not dealing with a number of SharePoint sites or Confluence or, you know what I mean? Like documentation sprawls and development teams use things so interestingly. So having a single spot that developers go to for how-tos on building and standing up applications, that has been really helpful as well. So I feel like, you know, organizations using something like GitHub, they can reduce kind of the onboarding time for developers, the availability and accessible resources, and kind of get them up and functional fast. But, and we use a lot of Harness, like I had mentioned earlier. They actually have a hosted internal developer portal, which is hosted Backstage. It's Spotify's platform engineering tool. So so I think of it like that.
So the faster development cycles, better collaboration, fewer errors. So that's what they can get. I get it. So more consistent software delivery will come in place. So all right. of which are vital for staying competitive in the fast-paced world of technology. So I get it. Thank you for that, Shannon. So developers do handle the burden of managing different tasks. Tasks like configuring the environments, learning new tools, troubleshooting, or switching between the multiple contexts of development. So how do developer platforms help reduce the cognitive load for developers? A little more sure. deep, can you?
Sure. Yeah, so I just went to a conference in August, and there was a whole conversation point about cognitive load. And it's not just coding, right? It's the meetings that creep up. It's the emails that creep up. It's the constant IMing over Teams or Slack, right? Those are interrupting, unfortunately, unless you go into a do not disturb, you know, pattern. And then all of a sudden everybody's wondering why Shannon can't respond to IMs. And it's like, well, I'm trying to develop, right? So I feel like, you know, cognitive load is not just in the realm of the multiple tools. It's also just in the regular day to day. And I don't know what it's like because each country is a little bit different. I think of it like all of our American companies, right? They sit here in this spot where they just keep piling on meetings and meetings and meetings and meetings. And then the development teams can't build something. And it's like, well, you have me in all of these meetings. So it's like that weird, interesting balance of people have to figure out what's important. And so in our contracts with customers, we talk about the idea of standardizing the tools, standardizing the procedures, obviously bringing everything into one portal. That really reduces cognitive load because you're not going to 8 different tools. You're not dealing with getting your local machine ready to be able to build and deploy software. We've seen customers use iPads to build and release software because they're only going to a portal. The compute engine's inside the portal. They don't need anything really crazy to develop, especially if they're really savvy. So we've seen an interesting paradigm shift of everything's web-based. You're going to a portal, you're authenticating in, you're getting in access to the environments that you need access to, and you're not worried about your local machine. It only works on this one machine, right? You're not worried about the fact that you've got 8 different tools to build and release. And we're also seeing some of the, so I guess it's one of those things too. When you think about it, a lot of customers struggle to build and release in fast cycles. So I had a customer who'd only do it maybe once a quarter. That was tricky. And that leads to brittle infrastructure and brittle development cycles. So it didn't matter that their development teams were fully capable of everything. The problem was they didn't have security baked into the CI/CD pipeline. They didn't have the production requirements baked into their CI/CD pipelines. So now what we're seeing, because we're sort of streamlining this process, we can start to add those in. We can start to quote unquote shift left. I'm not a huge fan of buzzwords, but that is kind of what's happening, right? So developers are now bringing security into the mix before it reaches that full blown, we're pushing it and releasing it to production. So, you know, reducing all of that just increases the ability to be able to build and release in a fast fashion. So when you think about the integrated functionality as well, the idea that we've got, you know, one of our, probably, it's probably the customer we talk about the most, right? The customer that came to us with 3,000 developers worldwide, they all go to the same portal, all 3,000 of them, right? And they're building and releasing to AWS. And it's just, it's the idea that everything's integrated and they've really increased their time to actually produce code and release to production. So when you look at like Gartner and things like that, they talk about the fact that developers spend, you know, 20% of their day fixing integration issues, i.e. all of the different components of what they didn't get a chance to fix before they released to production. And then from there, you know, there's meetings, right? There's other components that pop up trying to, you know, figure out why things won't build. Because, you know, again, you're building new things. You might be trying new standards of building your software. So it might not work out the gate. So really Gartner has highlighted on the fact that it's a problem. Developers only really spend, you know, 2 to 3 hours a day developing. And if you're paying them an 8-hour a day salary, that's kind of rough. So streamlining all of that, moving it to one centralized portal, making it so that your local machine doesn't matter, making it so that, you know, it works on my local machine, but it doesn't work in production. That joke of old is sort of not even a joke anymore. We can get to that point where it's a more streamlined environment. So reducing that cognitive load, we're seeing an increased agility with our developers that we're supporting in a number of different customers with our engagements.
Right. I love the way you phrased it, Shannon. So it's surprising to know that 20% of the time developers spend on fixing all the codes. And right. With that, as you said, with all the meetings and they have to deal with their subordinates, the teammates, and solving their right. problems, guiding them towards the trajectory and all those challenges. And after all, end of the day, the seniors will ask for the results. Okay, what have we done today? What have we done right. for the week?
I've been in meetings all day. Well, and another thing that's interesting is I think this was always a problem. Developers were always kind of working in this way, but they were also dealing with on-premises infrastructure. And on-premises infrastructure, exactly. You'd have failed disks, failed mother supplies, ISP outages. Now that a lot of customers have moved to the cloud, the burden of responsibility has shifted in the sense that, you know, because if you think about it, like I'm not even really a developer in terms of my background. I went to school for not even really IT. That's a different story for a different day. But I got my start with traditional infrastructure, right? And I just got to the point where I needed to realize that automation was important. And obviously over the course of time, moving my skill set into being able to hit REST APIs, have that kind of infrastructure developer mindset, that's really helped me out. But, you know, I think about the way in which developers would always be frustrated in the on-prem world, you know, and now that we've streamlined what we're doing and now that environments are pretty much online, resilient, highly available, now we're starting to look at this problem that I think is always there, but we just didn't really have a great way to quantify it because we were fighting all of the production fires of equipment that would potentially fail, a backup that would fail, right? Replication that wouldn't work. So now that it's a little bit more streamlined, we're starting to see it and we're starting to figure out ways to help and get developers where they need to be so they are productive.
You rightly said that, Shannon. So cognitive load of the developers, it has been always brushed away. Always. So
I think okay. so.
Yeah. So it's the high time or it has already started with all the tools in place like Azure DevOps, and you have mentioned Heroku and then GCP, App Engine, GitHub. There are a lot of tools. We can take a lot of examples from the market. Hope all the companies take that take this as a serious aspect and
Right.
put more efforts in clearing all those cognitive loads from the developers. All right. Thank you so much for that response, Shannon. That's all we have for part one, listeners. We have covered some incredible insights on the topic, how platform engineering reduces cognitive load so far. But there is so much more to unpack and to listen from Shannon. Stay tuned for part two. Till then, enjoy your cloud journey. And don't forget to write all your cloud challenges to info@amdiskglobal.com and hit on subscribe button on your favorite podcast streaming platform to get latest episode updates. Thank you.